The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 2nd, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 5. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me vyatitani Janmani tavacharjuna Tanyahang Veda Sarvani Natvang Veda Parantapa Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me vyatitani Janmani tavacharjana Tanyahang Veda Sarvani Natvang Veda Parantapa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 533, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there, Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam Adyam purana purushaṁ navayovanam ca Vedesho durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto Govindam adi purushaṁ tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually understood by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. It is also stated in the Brahma Samhita 539, Ramadhi murti shukalani amena tishtan Nanavatara makarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna svayam samabhavat paramappumanyo Govinda mandi purushaṁ tamahaṁ bhajāmi. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who was always situated in various incarnations, such as Ram, Nṛsiṁha, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. In the Vedas also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color yet remains one. All these multi-forms are understood by the pure unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham, atma bhakto. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of those devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vibhishvan, Arjuna in a different capacity was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero who could subdue the enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who was the constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchidananda body. He is Advaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord himself explains in the following verse.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Vadan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishnakan Vitamscha.
What were you doing a year ago tonight? Does anybody remember what you're doing exactly a year ago tonight? 2nd of September 2008. Anybody remember? But you're doing it 8:15, 20 minutes till 8. September 2nd, 2008. No, we don't. What does that mean? That means you're not God. We are not God, you see. But yeah, we are so foolishly thinking that somehow we are God. The Mayavadi philosophy is very popular nowadays. That I'm God, you're God, we're all God. But what kind of God is this? You see? He cannot even remember 1 year ago. God can remember millions of years ago. We can't even remember 1 year ago, to speak of 1 month ago. So therefore we should not fall prey to this Mayavadi idea that I am God. Of course they have their argument, you see. To say, yes, you're God, but you have simply forgotten that you're God. Now all you have to do is remember. You pay me $5,000 and I'll teach you how to remember that you are God. But anybody who falls for this line of bull, they're a fool. Because God cannot forget. If you are actually God, you can never forget you are God. But because people want to think that they are God, therefore they fall for this false philosophy that I am God, but I have simply forgotten Him. There are many bogus gurus teaching like that. I am God, you're God, we're all God. We must avoid such bogus gurus. We must find guru who says, we are all the servants of God and I will teach you how to become the servant of God. That is the bona fide spiritual master. This is what made Srila Prabhupada different from all the other gurus, yogis, swamis that came to America. They all taught this insidious philosophy that I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. How fortunate we are that Prabhupada did not cheat us. He gave us the real truth, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not simply some false flowery words. Even if sometimes the truth is unpalatable, Prabhupada would give us the truth. Sometimes it seems unpalatable in the beginning. Yattada agre vishami va pariname mritopamam tat sukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prastadajam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 38. That happiness which in the beginning may be just like poison, that which in the beginning may be just like poison, but in the end is the sweetest nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness.
Човека за себе реализация е щастие в бурата на доброто.
So, in the mood of goodness, sometimes it is unpleasant. But there's another mode. Do you know what that other mode is? Pure goodness. That happiness is not described in these verses. You see, happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. Happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. Happiness in the mode of ignorance is poison in the beginning and poison in the end. So, happiness in pure goodness would be nectar in the beginning and nectar in the end. So you may say, well, how could I get, if I'm still within the modes of nature, I mean, how could I get, you know, shuddha sattvic happiness in the beginning? Don't you have to do penances and austerities to qualify yourself to taste the nectar? Generally, that's true, you see. That's what's described in the Bhagavad Gita. But Lord Chaitanya broke the rules. Ananda, what is it? Anandam, what is it? Simply bliss, you see. Anandam buddhi vardhanam, increasing the ocean of transcendental bliss. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you can taste happiness in the mode of pure goodness instantly. Bliss in the beginning and bliss in the end, you see. So if somebody asks you, what is Krishna consciousness? You can tell them this. Krishna consciousness is bliss. In one word, that summarizes everything. It's bliss. You see, we have been blessed with bliss by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we run Harinam Sankirtan in the park. We were doing the kirtan, there were book distribution going on, prasadam distribution, and I tell you, it was the sweetest nectar. You should have seen the karmis, and when the kirtan was going on, their face, the karmis were in bliss. We could see all these karmis sitting around tasting the nectar. And that has got to be real bliss. When you see the karmis tasting bliss. So even though they had no qualification, they're smoking cigarettes. They're going to have illicit sex with their girlfriend. Completely unqualified. But yet we could see by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they were tasting the nectar of the Nama Sankirtan. So this means that even in the very beginning, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one can taste the nectar. One can feel transcendental ecstasy. Actually, you can feel transcendental bliss 24 hours a day. Your life can become a big festival, just simply a festival. From morning until night. celebrating Krishna consciousness. In everything. The way you dress. The way you decorate your body. You see. The way you talk. The way you think. The way you eat. The way you entertain yourself. The way you earn your living even. And the consciousness with which you earn your living. Everything can be turned into a festival. Where you feel your heart dancing in the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is what it means to be Krishna conscious. It does not mean to be the member of some sectarian religious movement. It means to taste the nectar of transcendental ecstasy 24 hours a day. That is Krishna consciousness. So, we have to learn it from those who are fixed in it. That's the way it's done, you see. By association. As Krishna says in chapter 2, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's association is developed according to the company that he keeps. So, do you want to taste the nectar 24 hours a day? Do you? If you do, raise your hand. Yeah. Very good. Then all you have to do is find out those devotees who are tasting the nectar 24 hours a day and associate with them as much as possible. It's all you have to do. It's as simple as that. Look for those devotees who never become depressed, angry, lusty, greedy, or envious. Who are truly swimming in an ocean of nectar 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was fortunate to meet such a devotee in the very beginning. His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. And Prabhupada confirmed in writing to me. He told me in the letter, he said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami." So that training is still sitting with me that I got from Vishnu Jan Maharaj. 38 years ago, you see. I still remember those sweet days when I first began this process. As a young brahmachari in our Austin Center. So those days, just as Sudama and Krishna remembering their brahmachari days, I'm also remembering those brahmachari days. It's very nice remembrance. Actually, Vedic culture means everyone is trained as Brahma. Every man is trained as brahmachari, you see. That is lacking in the modern day society. And Prabhupada accepted brahmacharinis also, because there is no proper Vedic culture to give them protection, the girls, you see. So that training is very valuable training from the age in the Vedic culture, from the age of 5 to the age of 25. The boy is simply there in the ashram of Guru, you see.
Затова този период от живота на момчетата между 5 и 25 години е много важен заради обучението, което получават в ашрама.
He has no business except for Krishna consciousness and Krishna seva and Guru seva 24 hours a day.
Такъв един брамачари няма друга работа, освен да отдава Гуру Сева, Кришна Сева 24 часа на ден.
Then at the age of 25, if he wants to earn livelihood and be a married man, that is fine.
След това на 25 годишна възраст, ако иска да да изкарва пари и да бъде семейен, може.
Guru Maharaj will give him all blessings.
Тогава духовният му учител ще му даде всички
благословения. Or if he wants to remain and become trained as sannyasi, that is also.
Ако иска да остане отречен и да се обучи като саньяси, това също е приемливо.
But that training, that solid training in Krishna bhakti, you see.
Но това е едно много солидно обучение в Кришна бхакти.
That is the most valuable asset.
Това е най-ценната придобивка.
That one can have. It's more valuable than any mundane education, college degree, or any amount of money, or power, or fame.
Което е много по-ценно от която и да било диплома получена в колеж или каквото и да било друго светско притежание.
Our member, the member of our movement, George Harrison, he had very practical experience of this.
Джордж Харисън, който беше член на нашето движение, имаше такова практически опит.
He became very wealthy and very famous.
Той стана много богат и много известен.
But he realized it was worthless.
Но той осъзна, че това е безсмислено.
He realized the real value was in awakening one's Krishna consciousness.
Той разбра, че истинската стойност е човек да пробуди своето Кришна
съзнание. So this we should always remember.
Това е, което трябва да помним винаги.
The only thing that has permanent lasting value is awakening one's dormant Krishna consciousness.
Единственото нещо, което има постоянно постоянна стойност, ценност, това е пробуждането на Кришна съзнание у нас.
So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Има ли някакви въпроси?
Като успеем да поканим хората в храма, ние имаме възможност да им дадем този по-виш курс. Обаче, как може да направим това на улицата? Защото за хората, които са на улицата, невежеството е блаженство. Как да им дадем този вкус, този нектар на улица?
For the people which we invite in the temple, we can give them this taste or this bliss. But what about for those who are on the streets?
Book distribution, ki jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan, ki jai. You give them a book, you carry some books with you, and you approach them, you give them a book. My dear sir, I can see you're not looking very happy. I would like to bless you with bliss. Take this book. Yes, book distribution is a way to give bliss to everyone. And you'll become blissful also. I remember one time seeing a book distributor in Miami, across the street. He's those big hardbound Krishna books. He sold one Krishna book, and the devotee was so happy he was jumping up and down in ecstasy. So the customer becomes happy, and the salesman also becomes happy. Prabhupada is happy. Lord Chaitanya is happy. Everyone is happy. Distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. That is the key for becoming happy and spreading happiness. Next question.
Yeah.
When one is preaching Krishna consciousness, should he or she consider the level of the person to whom he preaches?
Yes.
Да, трябва да се съобразява.
You must be an expert psychologist to read their psychic movements. The face is the index of the mind. You can hear what they say, you can judge their facial expression, their body language, and you can understand their mentality. You have to find a way of presenting it to them that it makes it attractive and appealing for them. As they say in sales, you have to find their hot button. That which turns them on, gets them excited. Oh, I must read that book. You have to see where they are at, and you have to present it specifically to that person, what will attract him to the book. There is something for everybody in these books. So you have to find the way of connecting the book with the customer, what he needs and what he wants. Next question. Yes.
He's asking, what is the difference, and are there such ways of progressing in Krishna consciousness? The one way is to do it step by step, gradually, and the other way is you perform it, and when there is accumulation of devotional service, then there is a like a leap in quality. He's describing two different ways to progress.
Get out of Maya, that's all.
Is less of Maya, try to.
Next question.
Целта, която Шива Прабхупада ни дава, е Кришна и Кришна према. Но ние, за да достигнем тази цел, Кришна изисква ние да сме 100% Кришна осъзнати, т.е. да е давано изцяло да даваме предно служене, както се казва в 9 глава 13 стих, 14 глава 26 стих, Кришна да изцяло да даваме предно служене. Шива Прабхупада и духовни учител ни показва това как да стане, но ние също не можем изведнъж, не можем да им подражаваме, нали, какво да направим, да им напредна.
Krishna wants full surrender in order to achieve him, and we can see from the practical example of Shiva Prabhupada and our spiritual master that this is possible and how to do it, but we cannot imitate them, so how to actually progress, how to...
Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajjahosi dadansiya yat tapashashi kunteya tat kadushva mudarpanam. 927. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. That's all.
Krishna казва в Бхагавад Гита 27 стих 9 глава, че каквото и да правиш, каквото и да ядеш, на каквито и отречения да се подлагаш, прави това, о син на Кунти, като жертва за мен. Това е всичко.
You simply fully offer yourself to Krishna. You don't have to imitate someone else. You offer yourself to Krishna.
Просто дай себе си на Кришна изцяло. Не е нужно да имитираш някой друг. Себе си отдай.
And my dear Lord Krishna, I am your property.
Мой скъпи Господи Кришна, аз съм твоя собственост.
Simply engage me as you like 24 hours a day. Take this mood, and that will be your perfection.
Просто ме ангажирай в твоя служене 24 часа на ден. Ако приемеш това настроение, това ще бъде твоето съвършенство.
Next question. Yes.
One has to imitate or they can follow the spiritual master and produce the rest spiritual masters.
Дали човек трябва да имитира или по-скоро трябва да следва духовните учители и предшествуващите ачари?
Yeah, one is following in the footsteps means to follow the orders of the spiritual master, not that you necessarily imitate his example. One man's food is another man's poison. Yet Shreyan, what is that? Shreyan Svadharma Vigana, Paradharmatsvanushtitat, Svabhavan Niyatan Karma, Kurvan Napnoti Kilbisham. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 47. It is better to perform one's own duty, even though you may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's duty and perform it perfectly. Duties born according to one's prescribed nature are never affected by sinful reactions.
Krishna казва в 18 глава 47 стих, че по-добре е човек да се заеме със собствената си професия, въпреки че може да извършва несъвършено, отколкото да приеме професията на друг и да я извършва съвършено. Задълженията, които се предписват в съответствие с природата на всеки човек, никога не пораждат греховни реакции.
So it's not that you should imitate the spiritual master.
Не е така, че ти трябва да имитираш духовния
учител. You do your own duty, that's all. And offer that to Krishna.
Ти изпълнявай собствените си задължения и предлагай резултатите на Кришна.
Tadvidhi Pranipatana Prabhupada in the purport says that the spiritual master sees the disciple according to his capacity, he is instructed to do the service, so doesn't the disciple just need to follow and make a progress?
That's correct.
Шрила Прабхупада в коментара към 4.34 казва, че ученикът трябва просто да следва инструкциите на духовен учител, който познава неговата природа. И по този начин може да постигне съвършенство. Да, и това е правилно.
You make it easy. All I have to do is say yes.
Ти го направи го лесно, аз просто си трябваше да кажа да.
Next question.
Purify our motivation in devotional service so we can achieve unalloyed devotional service.
That's a very important thing. As stated in the Bhagavatam, Ahaitakiya Pratiyata Yayatma Supersedati. Devotional service must be completely free of motive and interruptions in order to completely satisfy the self.
Шримад Бхагаватам се казва, че преното служене трябва да е напълно освободено от корисни мотиви и да е непрекъснато, за да удовлетвори напълно с душата.
So your question is very important question.
Затова твоя въпрос е много важен.
So how do you become free of any mundane motivation?
Как човек да се освободи от светски мотиви?
The thing to understand is this: motivation is necessary for us to act.
Трябва да се разбере следното нещо. Мотивацията е необходима за нас, за да действаме.
If somebody is not motivated, they can't do anything.
Някой, който не е мотивиран, той не може да прави каквото и да било.
So one has to have become spiritually motivated.
Затова човек трябва да стане духовно мотивиран.
Just like Prabhupada explains, what is the motivation of a Krishna conscious being?
Шрила Прабхупада обяснява каква е мотивацията на едно Кришна осъзнато същество.
He says this, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead.
Той казва, че едно Кришна осъзнато същество непрекъснато мисли как да освободи страждащото човечество и да ги върне обратно вкъщи при Бога.
Even if he is not successful in doing so,
дори да не успее да направи това,
his perfection is guaranteed.
Неговото съвършенство е осигурено.
And anyone who follows him, they will also become perfect.
И всеки, който го следва, той също ще стане съвършен.
So, someone who is actually Krishna conscious is the most motivated person in the whole world, actually. A Krishna conscious person is trying to pull off a world revolution. That's the real meaning of being a Krishna conscious person. He's the most highly motivated person that anywhere in the whole universe, someone who's Krishna conscious. So, if one becomes in this way highly motivated to push forward the Sankirtan movement, that taste of being spiritually motivated is so much more relishable than any type of material motivation. That the material motivation can just become like a joke, like a bad joke. For example, take a devotee who's motivated for making the whole world Krishna conscious. He's always thinking, dreaming, scheming, what can I do to attract the whole world to Krishna? And then offer him, say, you know what, I'll give you a beautiful woman, I'll give you a wonderful penthouse suite in the fanciest apartment here in Sofia. If you give up this idea of spreading Krishna consciousness, what will that devotee think? You'll think, what a stupid thing, you know. He has no interest in such a thing. It could be the most beautiful woman, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, the most beautiful woman, you know. In the prime of her youth, you know, sweet 16-year-old girl, you know, virgin girl. Devotee wouldn't even care a fig for that, you see. Because he's living in the most exciting adventure. I'm trying to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So in this way, every single devotee in ISKCON should become motivated to push forward this movement like anything, you see. Every devotee should be thinking, how can I live in such a way that the whole world, how can I think, speak and act in such a way that as soon as possible the whole world will become Krishna conscious? In this way, if you become highly, highly motivated, then material motives will just drop, they will just roll off you like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Just like when the prostitute came to Haridas Thakur in the dead of night. My God, she took all her clothes off, can you imagine? It didn't faze him the slightest bit. He simply thought, how can I save this poor girl? You see? And he was successful. She became a pure devotee. She also took the vow to chant 300,000 names every day. Can you imagine? 300, that's about 196 rounds every day. Where's the time for eating and sleeping? I have disciples in this room. What would you think if I ordered you? Now you must chant. You have to follow my orders, you see. If I ordered you, Narada Muni, now you must every day chant 196 rounds on the beads. What would you think? Oh, I hope Gurudev is joking. But this woman, she took that vow, you see. She was so transcendental. She took up 300,000 names every day. For her whole life. So this was the great potency of Haridas Thakur, because he had no material motives, you see. He could turn a prostitute into a pure devotee in 3 days. I mean 3 nights. That's someone who is spiritually motivated, you see. No material motive. He can turn a prostitute into a pure devotee in 3 nights.
Която е трансцендентално мотивирана, няма материални мотиви, може да преобрази една проститутка в чист пренал ден за 3 нощи.
So, any other questions?
В началото, само преди 20 години, мотивацията на цялото общество в България беше разрастването мисията на Санкирта. Но някак си от само себе си, като че ли това остана на заден план, и сега мотивацията е аз да останах Кришна съзнание, аз да стана чист, пък всъщност разпространението, то ще стане рано или късно. Всъщност, де е капана на мая?
In our society, here 20 years ago, the motivation of the devotees were to spread this movement, to distribute it. But now the motivation is more like let me stay in Krishna consciousness and become pure, and somehow the distribution will take place. So is this a trap of Maya? Or?
Both things are important.
И двете неща са важни.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada said this.
Всъщност Srila Prabhupada каза следното.
He said, there's nothing more important than saving the world.
Srila Prabhupada каза, че най-важното нещо е да се спаси света.
But even more important is saving yourself. So your first business is to save yourself. There's nothing wrong. You live your life in such a way that every day you can chant 16 quality rounds on the beads. Do you understand? Very good sadhana every devotee should have. And then when you have that sadhana, then you get Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti vina nahi taravartana. That unless one has Krishna Shakti, he cannot spread this Krishna consciousness. So by good sadhana, you become very powerful, and then naturally you can spread Krishna consciousness.
С добра садана ти ще станеш много силен, могъщ и по естествен начин ще разпространяваш.
If you become an ideal example of Krishna consciousness, just by your example you can make devotees.
Ако станеш идеален пример за Кришна съзнание, ти само с примера си ще правиш преданодари.
Just by seeing your example, people want to read Prabhupada books. They say, how did you become so happy and a wise person, an enlightened person?
Просто като те виждат, хората ще искат да взимат книгите на Прабхупад. Те си казват, как си толкова щастлив и просветлен.
And you tell them by reading Prabhupada's books.
Пиши им, кажеш, като чета тия книги.
And they say, where can I get those books? I want to be like you.
И те ще кажат, къде мога да намеря тия книги? Искам да съм като тебе.
So you become ideal example and automatically you can spread this movement.
Така ти стани идеален образец.
Even if you have so many household duties, that's all right.
И ще можеш да разпространяваш движението. Дори да имаш семейни
And whenever you can squeeze time, go for Harinam, go for book distribution.
можеш да намериш време, отивай на Харинам, отивай на книгово разпространение.
Next question. Yeah. All right. Okay. This is the last question.
Yesterday we spoke about two types of devotional service, and that one type is under the modes of material nature. So his question is how these different modes, they're influencing our consciousness while we are trying to perform devotion.
How do the modes influence our consciousness?
While we are trying to perform
how
devotion.
Do they?
Yes, how?
Tamaguna makes you lazy.
Tamaguna te pravi mrzeliv.
Rajaguna makes you materially motivated.
Rajaguna te pravi materialno motiviran.
And sattvaguna, you become inspired to become enlightened in spiritual consciousness.
А в сатвагуна ти се вдъхновяваш да се просветлиш с духовно съзнание.
So cultivate sattvaguna.
Затова култивирайте сатвагуна.
Sattvaguna is the launching pad to Shuddha Sattva.
Sattvaguna е като трамплин към Shuddha Sattva.
So cultivate sattvaguna by strictly avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, rising early, taking bath, putting on tilak, and chanting 16 quality rounds every day.
Култивирайте сатвагуна като стриктно следвате регулиращите принципи и като ставате рано сутрин, къпете си, слагате си тилак и мантрувате качествени 16 кръга.
By that sadhana one cultivates sattvaguna.
Посредством тази садана човек култивира сатвагуна.
And by gradually weeding out the nama aparads, becoming pure in one's chanting, then you change shuddha sattva.
И постепенно като отстранявате оскърбленията срещу святото име,
so, to summarize, 16 rounds and 4 principles, sattvaguna. Becoming free from the nama aparads, shuddha sattva. Okay, our time has run out, and we're having class tomorrow morning and another class tomorrow evening. And then we'll be gone to Romania and then coming back on. Let's see, Tuesday, there'll be another class, then on Tuesday night I'll be back from Romania. Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday we'll be gone until next spring. So we thank you. Okay.
Утре ще има лекция, сутринта и вечерта, след това заминаваме за Румъния и ще се върнем в вторник и сряда. И след това чак сутринта на пролечна дата.
So we thank you all very much for your wonderful devotion to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada's mission.
Благодаря ви много за вашата прекрасна преданост към Кришна и мисията на Шрила
Прабхупада. Mataji and I both are wishing you all the very best in your progress on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead.
Mataji и аз ви желаем всичко най-добро в вашия напредък по пътя обратно вкъщи и обратно при Бога.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Aaj vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Jai.